Well, this morning you will learn what the tongue of the learned is. And I didn't suck it out of my thumb. I found it in God's Word. And I looked at it and I read it and it baffled me. And so I thought, well, let me research it. And as I researched it, I realized that God was speaking to me about what He wants to do with the church in the new year. So, the tongue of the learned. Who's got the tongue of the learned here? Can I see a quick show of hands? Who's got the tongue of the learned? It's a trick question. If you think you got the tongue of the learned, raise your hand up high. Whoa, you all failed, bar for those that raised up their hands. We all have the tongue of the learned. Why is this church not smiling this morning? Has the enemy robbed your joy? Don't let him rob you. Which reminds me, as you were all walking forward this morning, I saw the family coming forward. Sometimes I see it when we're in the prayer room and I see the families walking into the church in the morning. I just realized that the Lord has brought us very precious people into this church. And I know I carry on about family, but as I saw you coming and coming to the table this morning, each one of you, I want to remind you that God loves you. You're His children. You're part of His fold. You're sheep in God's fold. You are His sheep, and He's your great shepherd. I'm your shepherd, but He's your great shepherd. And I want you to understand that God sees you just like that. Precious. Each precious one coming to the table, He sees you as His precious ones. You are precious in His sight, and you're precious in this house. Now that kind of links up with stuff that I said earlier. But I want you to know it. That's what the Lord put on my heart as I saw you walking forward to the communion table. My precious ones. You're God's precious ones. So know that and take it with you. Right. So, how do you have the tongue of the learned? Well, to get there, I first need okay, so I got Amelia. I first want to speak to you briefly. Can you believe it that it's already the 2nd of December? No. I mean, it feels like we're still in January. Doesn't it feel that way to you? This year has just gone so quickly. And that is scriptural because the Bible says it'll feel like time is going quicker. And we've got so little time left. And that's a reminder to us that we need to be active in God's kingdom. Because what we think we're going to do tomorrow, maybe that trumpet sounds. And then we've got no more time to do it. This year has just flown. This year, what has the focus been of our church? It was up there. What did it say? Take the city. Sweetie, can I ask you, in my cupboard there, in the middle cupboard, wrapped in those is two gifts. Won't you bring them to me, please? I'm sending my secretary there, my good helper, my helpmate. The word says when a man who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I've got a good wife. Right. We've done many things this year. If you look at your bulletin, you'll see at the back, we wrote just a little thank you, and we mentioned some of the things we've done. So we've been pursuing the goal of let's take the city. And then I was a bit frustrated in the one prayer meeting, and Karen Wong that we welcomed in this morning, because I said, Lord, we've said we're going to take the city, and we haven't yet fully taken the city. And she said, hang on a second, Pastor. This isn't just a one-year job, and it's not just a one-church job, and I agree with that. But we are doing our part. So while our focus for the year was take the city, we can't stop focusing on taking the city. But I believe that the Lord has given us our goal for next year. The thing that we need to be focused on next year is being disciples that are making disciples. Disciples making disciples. So if you need vision and you need to know, God, what are you saying to Christian Heritage Church? I believe that God has said, we need to be disciples making disciples. Now, that might sound simple to you, and it is simple, but we need to do it. That's one of the reasons why we changed our vision statement when Cheryl and I took over as lead pastors here. We've still got much to do. Acts 18:10 still says, I still have a people in the city. That hasn't changed. God has not changed His word. Thank you, my wife. So we need to reach the people God has got in that city. But with 2019 being in sight, and us being disciples making disciples, we need to realize it fits in very well with our vision statement. Now I've explained to you, some of you are fairly new, so you might not know. What's the difference between mission and vision? Can anybody tell me? What do you think, girl? You need to say loud. Oh, you are so right. Mission is now. Kirsty, will you run and give this to Gail for me, please? Haha, you're with opposite and oplet. Mission is where we are now. What is our mission? We are flourishing in faith and growing in love. And that's exactly what's happening in the church. If you look around, I can see it taking place. Mission is where we are now. Vision is where we're going. All right? And we've got a vision statement that's quite long. So to simplify it, we broke it up into 5 points. So this one is for whoever can tell me what those 5 points are. Who can tell me what those 5 points are? Who would like to give it a go? Otherwise, I eat it. And I do like them. All right. Nobody knows it. All right. I'll tell you. Our vision is to love God. Okay, that's quite normal, okay? To love people. To make disciples, the third one. To make disciples. To be a church of irresistible influence. How many times have you heard us say that? And to flourish and thrive. Who'd like to flourish and thrive as a church? Who'd like to flourish and thrive in their personal life? So, we've got to love people. No, first of all, love God. Okay, He's on top. He's on top. Love people. But we can't just love them. We need to bring them to Jesus. We need to make disciples. Then we've got to be a church that is having an impact. If we close our doors tomorrow, will anybody miss us? If we're a church of irresistible influence, they'll miss us. And let me tell you what church, they will miss us because we are making a difference. And then we want to flourish and thrive. And that's in line with our to be, our current, which is flourishing in faith, growing in love. We want to flourish and thrive. We want to continue and we want it to become more. All right. So the next time I say to you, in fact, there are five. And in a few minutes' time, I'm going to see. So I'm going to just repeat it one more time. And the person that's listening very carefully will get this because I don't want it here anymore because otherwise I will eat it. All right? To love God, love people, it's not difficult. Make disciples, be a church of irresistible influence, and flourish and thrive. Okay? But you guys can all remember it now. It's like being in children's church. So I'm going to just tell you my first scripture and then I'm going to see if you remember it. Okay? So can you see how disciples, making disciples fits in there? It fits in with loving God. Fits in with loving people. It fits in with making disciples. It fits in with being a people of irresistible influence. And it fits in with growing and thriving. It fits all of those. Take the city did as well, okay? We need to make sure that whatever we do fits in with our vision. All right, if we spend a cent in this church, it's got to be in direct connection with our vision. We in July, we do the Holiday Bible Club. It costs us 10,000 rand. That's a lot of money. But it fits in with our vision because we are being a church of irresistible influence. We want to bring children into the church. We want to impact our community. All of those things. So we can put money there. Right? Okay. Who wants to give it a go? Whoa. Okay. Take hands down. Meal. Did you put it up? Okay. Close your eyes. First stand up. Okay, Trigia one. Sorry, guys. Okay, you stand up and say loud, Trigia. Well done. Can we give him a hand? Yeah. Thank you. Ek gaan julle vang, julle moet hierdie goed onthou. So, now, right. Isaiah 50 verse 4, getting into the message now that we've had some fun. It's nice to have some fun in the church. Okay? And at least I won't be that fat, so I won't have to ride quite that hard on my bicycle tomorrow, or whenever. Isaiah 50 verse 4. Yeah, it is. The message is the tongue of the learned. Yeah, it is in the Bible. Please open your Bibles if you've got them. If you've got your cell phone and you've got a cell phone Bible, you can do that too. Please don't go and start reading your WhatsApps or go into Facebook or anything like that. But we are a church that is a little bit enlightened and we do understand technology. I just want to spend one moment telling you. When we come to cell meeting, I generally use my cell phone, okay? But the one thing I've noticed is, if you're using your cell phone, it's great. You've got instant access to God's Word. But it's very difficult to make notes on your cell phone. Okay? It's very difficult when you go and open that scripture again to see what you've highlighted or what the Lord spoke to you about the last time. It's very difficult to pick up on something when you're flipping through. Oh, yes, the Lord reminded me that. So don't make that your only Bible. Keep your paper Bible. It's a very good study tool. Okay? It's a place where I write in my Bible. Something, I actually write there. I highlight. Shirley said, well, what isn't highlighted in your Bible? Okay? But that's because stuff jumps out to me. So I want to encourage you, don't just use technology. Go and use that written Bible because it has not lost its value. Amen. Listen to your pastor. Okay, I'm over 50 now, so I'm starting to have a little bit of wisdom. Right. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. Who wants to hear a word in season? I want to hear a word in season. Okay? To him who is weary, to the weary, as the people filed past him, and the Lord showed me his people, they are weary. A lot of the people are tired, going through stuff, had a difficult year. You need to hear a word in season. Okay? And I'm not going to speak an encouraging word to you this morning. I'm going to speak a word that's going to help you to get some vision. All right? A word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Now, that scripture's great, isn't it? If it's talking about me. All right? Lord, I want to be able to give a word in season. All right? But the interesting thing about that word, and that's what made me go and start researching it, is that word there is about Jesus. It's a prophetic. Isaiah was prophesying about the Messiah that was to come. If you go and read that chapter in Isaiah, it talks about Jesus. So now if you go and read it in that context, and you say, Jesus speaking effectively, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Jesus didn't need to have the tongue of the learned because he's omniscient. He knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. He holds the whole world together. He doesn't need that. He had it since the beginning of time. He is God. We need to remember we serve a triune God, three separate persons, but yet they are one. So if Jesus knows something, or Father God knows something, or the Holy Spirit knows something, they all know it. Are you with me? So why did Jesus need the tongue of the learned? And why did he need to know a word in season? Right? Because he knew it. He didn't need to get it. But it says the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. That I should know. Jesus knew how to speak. And I can encourage him as weary. And he awakens me in the morning. The Lord our God, the word teaches us, our God never slumbers nor sleeps. Jesus doesn't wake up in the morning. So, Father, what a wonderful day we've got. He never sleeps. So what on earth is it saying there? Why does he have to wake up in the morning and hear the word of the learned? There must be another reason. Amen? I told you I'm going to get a bit complex this morning. But if you read that and you were thinking about it, you might have asked the same question. Right? It's interesting stuff, this. All right. Why would Jesus need the tongue of the learned? Surely you and I need the tongue of the learned. Isn't that the case? And we need to hear like the learned do. And we do need to hear like that. But this is talking about Jesus. So I went and I looked in my different translations and I found the one in the Amplified Bible, the RSA. So now, this will help you to understand it better. The Lord God, I'm going to just turn my back to you if you don't mind. The Lord God has given me his servant. You see the capital S? It is talking about Jesus. The tongue of disciples as one who is taught. What is a disciple? It's somebody who follows somebody who's teaching them. Jesus was given the tongue of disciples as one who has been taught. That I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear, capital M again, to listen as a disciple, as one who is taught. Now, Jesus didn't need that. All right, he didn't need to hear as a disciple. He was the teacher. Why do you think he needed to hear as a disciple? He needed to hear as a disciple so that he could teach on the level of his disciples. He needed to be able to teach on the level that you and I would understand. Because he knows everything. Have you ever been in the... Okay, if I invited Dr. Shirley in her Dr. Shirley role, okay, in her thesis, and she were to come and explain her thesis to you, if she were to come and read it to you, I can tell you, you'd say, okay, and you said, what? Does it make sense? Because it's written on a higher level. Are you with me? And Jesus knows everything on a higher level. But Father God gave him understanding as a disciple so he could speak as a disciple a word in season. If I speak to you something, church, and it's something that you can relate to and you can take hold of it and it changes your life, it's a word in season, isn't it? Father God gave Jesus an ability to speak like a disciple. And an ability to hear like a disciple so that he could be able to teach his disciples in a way that they would understand. I heard Robert Morris saying about the disciples this morning, these guys were doff, okay? Now, I don't want to insult them like that, but remember, they were uneducated. They were fishermen. Fishing was their living. They may never have had any form of education. So he had to speak to them and teach them on their level. Does that make sense to you, church? That's what I believe the Lord gave me as one who is taught. Jesus taught as one who had been taught. So he was able to teach others, right? Not that he couldn't do it, but that's what I understand that in there. Okay? Also, he would know how to sustain the needy with a word, to give them a word in season. So if I were to take that and translate it into what I'm trying to tell you this morning, Father God made Jesus like a disciple so that he could make disciples. Does that make sense to you? It's a bit complex, but he made Jesus like a disciple so that he could make disciples. All right? So, why is that important to you and I? It's not important because of what it says. It's important because of what it implies. It's important because of what it implies. Jesus made disciples. And those disciples made disciples. And those disciples made disciples. And that's why you and I are here today. Does that make sense? Because Jesus made disciples, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. It repeated itself over and over and over. And it became exponential because it started with one, and then there were 12, then there was 120, and then there were millions. Okay, it's a proper pyramid scheme. But the good thing about this pyramid scheme is it's not going to collapse one day. One day the trumpet's going to sound and everybody who received him is going to be with him. Amen. All right, so that scripture is important because it speaks to you and I. It implies that disciples have got a role to play. Disciples need to speak like disciples. Disciples speak. Disciples listen. And they make disciples. Are you with me? Have I lost you yet? Because I was a bit concerned about that. It's a biblical norm. If Jesus learned as a disciple, that meant it was a biblical norm. You and I learn like disciples. It's a biblical norm. And we need to speak like disciples. Now let me go back. The tongue of the learned. The learned is somebody who is learned. That's a disciple. So you and I need to have the tongue of the learned. And we need to speak as people who have learned. Who hasn't learned something about Jesus? Can I see a show of hands? Who knows nothing about Jesus here this morning? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, I'll take mine down too, because otherwise I'm lying. There's nobody here who knows nothing about Jesus. From time to time we get people they might have heard about Jesus, but they've got no clue. But everybody here has had some form of learning about who Jesus is. Even children, we teach them out of children's Bibles. They have a basic understanding, but they know something about Jesus. The reality here and the implication here is that Jesus intended for you and I to make disciples. We are disciples, but we've got to make disciples. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples. Be as those who are the learned. Hear as those who are the learned. And take that learning and make others that are learning as well. Okay, teach others. So go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did it stop there? No. Okay? It says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Disciple them. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Disciple them. Does that make sense, church? Okay. Now, I know I'm not telling all the exciting stuff that you'd like to hear and carrying on and binding the devil and encouraging you. I'm teaching you how to be a Christian, church. So don't switch off now. Don't switch off now. Let's have a look at what is discipleship. Firstly, we've heard a disciple is he who has learned, okay? Somebody who has the tongue of the learned, right? Secondly, we know in that first scripture, gaan net terug, Emil. If you go to that first scripture, it's the tongue of the learned, and go drop down again. The tongue of disciples, or as one who is taught. So a disciple is the learned, but it's also one who has been taught, okay? And finally, if we're being taught, that means we have a teacher. A disciple is somebody who's got a teacher. Those three things. So we know stuff, we've been learning stuff, and we've got somebody who's been teaching us stuff. Does that make sense to you? Okay, if you can remember those things, you've got something. Okay. My definition of discipleship is this, my personal definition. Discipleship is the process of one believer teaching another believer about what it means to live as a child of God. Can you identify with that? One believer teaching another believer about what it means to live as a child of God. Maria, I want to tell you, my sister, that you are a disciple and you can make disciples. Amen. All right. Gareth, you're a disciple. You might have recently given your heart to the Lord, but you're a disciple who can teach others. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. On the Desiring God website, there's a pastor, John Piper, and he gives this detailed description. I'm going to read it out for you. The word discipleship never occurs in the Bible. Did you know that? But Jesus told us to teach others. Okay? The term is ambiguous in English. It can mean discipleship in the sense of the pattern of following Jesus and trusting him and learning from him. In other words, me as a disciple. Okay? Or it can mean the activity of helping others be disciples in the sense of learning from him and growing him. So number one is, discipleship is me following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. But it also means me as a disciple teaching other people how to follow Jesus. Are you with me? So a disciple has got two different meanings. And it can mean to preach the gospel so that people get converted to Christ and become Christians and thus disciples. For example, Acts 14 verse 21 says this, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium. So they made many disciples. Then they went away. It was like the evangelist that comes up out and does a crusade. Many people give their hearts to the Lord. And the evangelist, he's gone. What happens to those newborn disciples? Okay? They need you and I to come along. All right? With Matthew 28 verse 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. First of all, they've been born again. Now they need to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've taught you. So somebody needs to take their hand and walk with them. Do you think that that walk takes 5 minutes? Or one day or 1 week? How long do you think it should take? A lifetime. A lifetime. Okay? But we can get people to a level of maturity if we're willing to spend a month or 2 or 3 months with them. Are you with me, church? Is this exciting, you guys? You don't look very excited. Okay, but I'm teaching you about what it means to be a child of God. So it should excite you, right? The problem, and I've already mentioned it, is this. There's a Chinese proverb that many of you will know. If you give a poor man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, you give him an occupation that will feed him for a lifetime. If you lead somebody to Jesus, you bless them for a day. But if you walk with them and carry on teaching them, you bless them for a lifetime. Does that make sense? Who would like to bless people for a lifetime? Can I see a show of hands here this morning? I also want to. In fact, what I'm busy doing right now is I'm discipling you. Effectively, as the congregation, you are my disciples. Right? But I'm also a disciple. I'm following Jesus. And I actually need somebody to disciple me. Still, does that make sense? Now, you might go and say, but the Word teaches that Jesus, the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Yes, He does. But that doesn't mean that I don't still need somebody to teach me. I do. Right. So my first challenge to you today is this. Are you willing to do what it takes to take what you've learned and shared it with others? Now, that was a very silent no. All right, let me ask you that question again. Are you willing to do what it takes by taking that which you've already learned and sharing it with others? Amen. All right. Are you willing to do it for the long run and not just today? Amen. Yes, I need you to answer me. Okay. Let me give you some biblical examples of discipleship in action. Okay. This discipling can be done in very many different ways. There's not only one way to do discipleship, okay? There's many ways. In fact, a cell phone here, I could show you. I've got a cell phone app that Mark sent me, but you need data. You need to be able to go and read it. There's a cell phone app that can help you to disciple people. There's some that you can download onto your cell phone, and it's all there. You don't need data, all right? There's another way. Books, right? In Titus 2 verse 4, it says, examples, biblical examples of discipleship. Older women are to train younger women. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Do you see that? Jesus taught the disciples. Paul heard he had a personal encounter with Jesus. He taught Timothy. He said, Timothy, teach faithful men who will be able to teach others. It's a biblical principle. Discipleship is a biblical principle. Amen. Right. Ephesians 6 verse 4. Fathers must train their children. Discipleship. Matthew 28 verse 20. The second half. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Hebrews 3 verse 13. All Christians are to exhort each other every day to avoid sin and to stir each other up to love and good works. And he has a whole scripture about discipleship. Acts 18 verse 24 to 26. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man knew the scriptures, okay? This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only of the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and discipled him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Because he was speaking the baptism of John. But who knows, you're in a charismatic church. There's another baptism. What baptism is that? Who can tell me? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay. So he needed to be taught that. He was discipled. Every Christian should be finding somebody who they can tell about Jesus. We were visiting with Mark and Cardinal. They were visiting with us. And we were talking about when they were in the States and they were with the soldiers, the motorcycle Christians in the States. And they were saying it's amazing how in every conversation they were in, the people would deliberately bring up the topic of Jesus or the topic of the Bible. They would talk about the things of God. Church, we need to learn to do that all the time. If you're at work, if you're visiting with your neighbor, if your family's around, bring it back. Bring it back. Bring the conversation back around. Okay, they might say, stop Bible punching us. Do it with tact, church. You can find a way. You can say, God, help me with this. I couldn't find that and I prayed and there it was. They can't argue with it. Okay, coincidence. It's only a coincidence when it happens the first and the second and the third time. After that, it's no longer a coincidence. It's a reality of God helping you. Are you with me, church? All right. So we've all got a role to play. We've all got to make disciples. Okay, then you say to me, but I'm not qualified. Who says I'm not qualified to be a discipler? You could put up your hand. I'm sure there's people here this morning that think they're not qualified. Okay, Apollos wasn't fully qualified. He didn't know the whole Word of God. He didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It took Aquila and Priscilla to take him aside and teach him. All right? But that didn't stop Apollos. He was proclaiming boldly. Take that which you know and share it, church. You can be a disciple maker. When Jesus said, go and make disciples in that scripture, he didn't send them away empty-handed to go and suckle and battle and struggle. He said, but first go and wait in Jerusalem. And then he said, because I'm going to give you the promise. And when did the promise come? We read it about the Holy Spirit being poured out in Acts. And in chapter 1, verse 8 of Acts, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we've got the helper, the Holy Spirit. When God asks you to be a disciple maker, he's equipped you with his Holy Spirit to enable you. But there's more. Okay, and I'm almost done, church. All right? Do you still believe you're not qualified? Can I see a show of hands? Do you believe you're qualified? Who thinks they're qualified? Lift your hands. All right, the penny's starting to drop. We will help you too as a church, okay? Because our vision for next year is disciples making disciples. I don't want to send you out and say, well, go and make disciples, right? A little while ago, not long after my sister died, we went away. She was dead, passed away. We went down to the coast because that's where he lived, and we stayed at my sister's place. And I found this book in her place. It was given to her by Pastor Ferdy Warwick. Kathy knows him. He was a pastor here in Horizon for many years. And then he moved to the coast. And he, in the Mansum Toti, he had a church of 700 people. So that's quite amazing at the coast. He's a good pastor. He spoke to me just before I took over here. He was the one who said to me, people will not remember what you say to them. So I forgive you if you've forgotten what I've told you this morning in a few weeks' time, okay? But they'll remember how you love them. And my heart is that you know how I love you, church, and that you've seen it in action. And if you don't, then I need to work on it. And it's my prayer that the Lord will teach me how to love. Amen. But we should all be praying about that. Because if you want to impact somebody, it's not about what you know or what you say. It's how you act towards him. Gail said it's about the attitude of our hearts. Amen. But he developed this discipleship course, and I was looking at it, I said, Lord, but this is exactly what I've been looking for. So when I came back, I tried to get a hold of him. I phoned him, and nothing. And I wrote to him, and nothing. And I thought, oh, well, not to be. And I think the next day he phoned me back, and I was blessed. And I spoke to him about this. He said, yeah, you can get some. I've got some of these manuals for you. How many would you like? I thought, oh, okay, Lord. And I said, well, it depends on what they cost, because Shirley will tell you, this is a bit thicker than our normal Bible school books, and those books cost 170 rand each. Okay? So I said, well, I'd love to give everybody in the church one, but can we afford it? I said, yeah, can have them for 35 rand each. Okay? So now I knew God was in it. So I said, okay, well, then I'll have 100. There's not 100 people sitting here. And then he shipped it up, so it costs a couple of extra. So these books, you can say, cost us about 40 rand each. Beautiful printed discipleship manual. It is my desire to put one of these in each of your hands, all right? Now, I could give it to you for free, okay? And I thought of doing that, and then I said, no, I'm going to charge you 20 rand. We will charge it. Not I, we will, as a church, charge you 20 rand, okay? So you're getting it at half price. The church is subsidizing it. And the only reason I want to charge you for it is this. Because if I give it to you, you know what you're going to do with it. That's what you're going to do with it. Amen. Am I right? So I want it to cost you 20 rand. We do that with 20 rand in any case, because it's not a lot of money. Okay. I just chucked it like that because I got another 99. I'm just joking. Just joking. I was trusting the Lord that wouldn't break. So from next week, I'll be at reception. And then during the fast in January, we're going to work through these books. There's 15 chapters, there's 21 days of fast. So you've got 6 days that if you miss a day, you can catch up, all right? And then on the Wednesday night, we're going to have a focus on discipleship, all right? Who's interested? I want to give you a discipleship manual. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to work through this manual yourself, okay? Now you might say, but we've been in church for 100 years already, okay? Most of you look that way. Well, at least Corin laughed. Okay, not you, Corin, because you laughed. The rest of them do, because they... Okay, I'm just joking. I'm just teasing you. Aqua, I was just teasing you, eh? Just in case. All right. I want us to work through these manuals. There's work to be done. You've got to fill in scriptures. You've got to go and read it. You've got to memorize verses. You will grow, church, if you go through this manual. Okay, even if you're an established Christian. But why I really want you to go through it is so that you can take this manual and say to me, Pastor Keith, I've identified somebody that I want to take through this discipleship manual. Can I have another one? And for every person that you bring here, or not bring here, that you tell me that you want a discipleship manual for, I will give you a discipleship manual and you will not pay for it. It is a part of the outreach of this church for next year. That's how serious I am about the vision. Are you with me, church? Now, this thing could succeed and it can transform our church. Pastor Ferdy, when I said to him, you're on the right track, God will bless your church. Your people will grow. The church will explode in growth. And it can work. But it can fail dismally. Because if you take it and you don't read it, and you take it and you don't pray about it, that the Lord will challenge your own heart, and challenge you with it. Or if you take it and you say, I've got a tool, but I still am not willing to use it, it's going to fail. So then you've listened to this whole message, and you've stayed awake through this whole message for nothing. Are you with me, church? Can you see my heart in this? Who wants to go on this journey with us next year? Don't just put up your hand to please me, okay? Because God sees your heart. Yes, you can take your hands down. I want you to take this. I want you to pray about it. I want you to make this your vision, church. Because if we're going to run with a vision, it cannot be my vision. It's got to be our vision. Are you with me, church? We can't be a church that nobody can remember what the vision statement is anymore. Because then we're failing. Are you with me? Sorry, I have to say that because it's the truth. So if we are going to be disciples making disciples, you've got the Holy Spirit. You will have this book. And what you can do is, if you find somebody, say, can we spend some time once a week and just go through one or two of these chapters? You can work through it in the week and I'll go through it with you and we will grow together. Who thinks they can do that? And I understand that some of you are Afrikaans. I asked if there's an Afrikaans one. There isn't. Okay? If I run out of these books, we will buy more. It's as simple as that. Because what God asked you to do, He will provide the finance to do. Are you with me? And for those of you who say, I don't have 20 rand, that's also okay. Come and speak to me. You will get one for free. But please, do not let it lie there and collect dust. Amen? It's a nice book. We all like to have books. How many of us have got books in our bookshelf that we've never read, we're never going to read? We all like to have books. We all like to have new stuff. But see my heart, church. If we are going to have the tongue of the learned, if we're going to follow Jesus' example and we're going to bear fruit in the kingdom, then we need to have a heart to do this. And that is why I've taken a whole service to share it with you. Amen. So let me just conclude this message. My final challenge here is, are you willing to become a disciple that makes disciples? Church, sometimes we need to realize that's why the church looks like it does. Because disciples have not taken up Jesus' challenge to go and make disciples. Amen. And I believe firmly in my heart, because I'm a pastor shepherd, not a pastor evangelist, that it goes beyond just making new believers. It's got to be about following up and seeing those new believers become Christians that are solid in God's word. And don't you want to have a part in that, church? I can't do it on my own. That is immense. But yes, it's the potential to impact a whole city. And with God, we can do it. Amen. So, Jesus needed to have the tongue of the learned so he could teach his disciples. You and I have the tongue of the learned because we've been taught. And we've got a tool, and we've got the Holy Spirit that'll enable us to teach others. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ made disciples. Paul made disciples. You and I need to make disciples. Don't feel pressurized. just trust the Lord and let Him do it for you. And then we've also got the Great Commission that we do need to answer the call to. So stand with me today. And let us together stand and say, Lord, help me to become a disciple that will make disciples. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I know that was a bit of a heavy service, okay? I know it was a bit technical. I know it wasn't this whole thing of, you know, being a motivational speaker. I don't want to be an emotional motivational. I want to teach you how to live as a Christian church. That's my responsibility. Are you willing to join this journey with me? And if you want to, and if you've got misgivings, and you think, but how can I do that? That's okay. Because you've got the Holy Spirit, and He will help you. Monique, dink jy jy kan dit doen? Amen. Jy kan dalk met jou boetie begin. Alright, that's a good place. Ja, maar hy sal met my stry. Nee, die Here sal vir jou deur oopmaak. Okay. Yeah, but my family says I'm Bible. But wait, pray about it. God will give you one of them. What about your domestic servant, the lady who works in your house all the time? Have you taught her about Jesus? Take an hour a day or an afternoon a week and spend some time teaching her. There's a tool. What about the people you work with? Amen. What about your neighbor? We've all got some. Janet, they're the people in the retirement village there with you. You've all got somebody. Auntie Betsy, those people that you visit so faithfully. Yeah, you at work. Are you with me? All of us, Honoria, at school, the other teachers. Are you with me, church? Let us close our eyes. I want you to raise your hand if you want to go on this journey. Only raise it if you feel that the Lord has spoken to you this morning. And don't, I'm not actually even interested. I'm going to turn my back. If you want this, say, Lord, raise your hand. And I'm going to pray. Pray it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, our heart's desire, my heart's desire, is to be a disciple that makes disciples. I want to bear fruit in your kingdom. I give you my fears and my insecurities. I even give you the things I think are impossible. And I pray that you will change my heart from this moment on, and that you will give me the ability to make disciples and to multiply your kingdom. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know that even though I can't, you can, because you're in me. And I will be fruitful. And I will be a disciple maker. And I will have the tongue of the learned. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? And just before we close the service, I want to ask you, bow your heads again. Close your eyes. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to give their heart to Jesus? You haven't become a disciple and you want to become a disciple. If that's you this morning, just raise your hands. Everybody else has got their eyes closed. I see those hands. I see those hands. If anybody wants to become a Christian this morning, you've never become a Christian, you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. I'm going to pray with you. Father, I pray for each one that's lifted their hands. For those that want to become Jesus' followers. Lord, I pray for them. As they've raised their hands, that you've seen it. That by your grace, you will enable them to follow you. That you will enable them to become your disciples. And then I want you to pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you today. Help me to become a Jesus follower and your disciple. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Amen. So church, I've done something I haven't managed to do for a long time. It's 10 to 11 and be done. Amen. I want to ask you to go on this journey with me. I know I've nagged, I've begged, I've pleaded this morning. But I pray by the Lord's grace that I've caught your imagination. and planted a seed for 2019, a seed that will bear a great harvest. And I believe it can. Amen.